This is the Banner of Truth broadcast, a program sponsored by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Pastor Cornelius Sprong speaking.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we read these strange words, "When I am weak, then am I strong." These words were spoken by the Apostle Paul, who had just received a remarkable answer to prayer. Paul had for some time labored under a heavy trial, which he calls a thorn in his flesh. Deeply concerned that this thorn, whatever it was, would greatly reduce his usefulness as a minister of the gospel, he cried most earnestly to his master to remove it from him. Three times he sent up his petition, but to no avail. That is to say, the Lord did not remove that thorn. Instead, he promised his servant more abundant communication of grace. "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." As Paul found out, this was better than having his thorn removed. His weakness remained, but instead of experiencing this as a handicap, as he had at first, the apostle now came to value it as a real asset. The weaker he was in himself, the more he leaned on Christ and his almighty arm. Therefore, as strange as it may sound, Paul could now say, "When I am weak, then am I strong." This is something that every Christian must learn, and will learn, if he is a Christian. But he often learns it the hard way, for nothing is more contrary to flesh and blood than this. By nature, we are inclined to think that our happiness consists in being strong and independent. That man is admired by the world who asserts himself, who has inner resources from which to draw strength and ideas. The self-made man, the entrepreneur in business, the successful politician, the popular athlete or movie actor, these receive the plaudits from the masses. Alas, this is even true in the world of religion. How much of modern religion is based on the flesh, on carnal reasoning, and on man's ideas. It is man who decides for Christ, who does this or that for the Lord and his kingdom. For all the lip service that is being paid to grace, much of our so-called evangelicalism today is thoroughly man-centered and must be termed works religion. Yet for all their boasted strength, they are really very weak, not in their own eyes, of course, but in the sight of God. People who rely on their own wisdom and ability should really turn Paul's great statement around and say, "When I am strong, then am I weak." But of course, they will never do this until they are taught by the Holy Spirit. But really, we are all like that. Left to ourselves, we are all foolish enough to think that we can do something to please God. We try to obey God's law, but we forget that trying is not enough. It is doing that God requires. He demands that we keep his law perfectly, that we love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, even after the Lord begins to deal with us and shows us that it is not by works, but by grace that we are saved. We still try to believe and repent and do all sorts of spiritual exercises, forgetting that none of these things lie within our power either, but that salvation is God's work from beginning to end. We need to be brought off from works again and again. We must learn that in ourselves there is nothing that can please God, and that we cannot do anything in our own strength. We all know this, yet we often act as though this was not true at all. We can only be saved through the work of another, the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation comes to us as a gift of grace. This grace is not only necessary at the beginning of spiritual life, when we are converted, but throughout our whole Christian life. It was not only God's amazing grace that saved a wretch like John Newton at the beginning, but that same grace saw him through many dangers, toils, and snares. In his own words, "'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home." But this grace is experienced in the believer's weakness. The weaker God's child feels, the stronger he is in God and in Christ. That's the secret. Notice what Paul says, "When I am weak, then am I strong. I believe the apostle means when I am consciously weak, when I truly feel my weakness, and when I feel distress because of it, then I am strong. You see, we are weak whether we realize it or not, and all of us will acknowledge it as a fact. The Bible teaches this truth, and therefore we do not question it. It is one thing, however, to believe something to be true, but to experience the reality of it, that is quite another. It is the latter which only the Holy Spirit can teach us. How we need this work of the Spirit, whereby He not only uncovers us to our sin and guilt, but also shows us how utterly weak and helpless we are in ourselves. This way He makes us feel our need of Christ and His saving work. He reveals to weak and impotent sinners that Christ is an almighty Savior, and He also enables us to cast ourselves upon this able and willing Savior. This sense of weakness is progressive. There is a growing awareness that without the Savior nothing can be done to God's honor and praise. This is true sanctification. Not when I grow stronger and stronger in my own estimation, so that I can boast of having conquered this sin or that lust and attained to this spiritual high or accomplished that great work for the Lord. No. True sanctification and growth in grace means that we become weaker and weaker in ourselves until we write death upon every power we once thought we possessed, so that Christ becomes our all in all. When I am weak, Paul says, then am I strong, namely in Christ. Do you see the connection now between the when and the then? This is an experiential connection. You have something similar in Luke 7, where Jesus tells the parable about the two debtors. Then he says, when they had nothing to pay, he, the creditor, forgave them both. When the sinner has come to the end of his own resources and doesn't have a single penny to pay off his huge debt, the Lord cancels the debt because of him who has paid the price in full for such bankrupt sinners. It is the same thing here. When all human strength is gone and I cannot so much as lift my little finger to save myself or to keep myself in the way of salvation, then Christ reveals himself to me as the fountain of life and grace and as the rock of strength. When I look to him out of a felt sense of need, convinced that he alone can save, the hour of salvation has come for me. For then I am linked by faith to the great source and storehouse of strength. Then that strength is given to me. Yes, it is, as Christ says to Paul, made perfect in weakness. But in what sense does this make the Christian strong? It all sounds nice and uplifting, but is there any substance to it? Yes, there is. When Christ said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee," this was not just a well-meant expression of moral support. Paul actually received strength from his Savior to bear his cross and to put up with that thorn in his flesh. When you and I really feel our weakness and therefore put our trust in the Lord, he will never disappoint us and put us to shame. Whoever takes him at his word and trusts him for salvation or anything else that is needed later on in the Christian life, such a person will be supplied out of the fullness which God has laid up in his Son. Of his fullness have all we received, John says, and grace for grace. Have you never experienced this? That as long as you try to repent and believe in your own strength, you just couldn't do it? Also, when you try to give up sinning and live a holy life, drawing on your own resources, the result was rather the opposite. Sin and the desire for it became even stronger than before, causing great confusion within. You could not even produce a tear of true heart sorrow for sin. You were as hard as a stone and as cold as ice, until you were brought to the end of self and self-exertion. As a poor, wretched, weak, and weary sinner, you cast yourself into the arms of sovereign grace and wholly leaned on Jesus' name. Then strength flowed into your soul. Then you confessed your sin as never before with weeping and tenderness. Then you resolved to seek the Lord and to do His will. You gladly gave up sin and everything displeasing to the Lord. Have you ever been there, in the valley of humiliation, crying to the Lord for strength, His strength? Or do you still rely on your own strength? You do this whenever you say, I'm doing my best. I pray, I read the Bible, I go to church, I try to live a good life, etc., etc. But then you cannot really say what Paul says here, can you? When I am weak, then am I strong. You have never understood these words of the apostle. You have not really understood what Christ once said to his disciples when they asked in despair, who then can be saved? Then the Savior replied, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. It is something like Jacob experienced at Peniel. All night he had wrestled with that stranger, but towards dawn his opponent touches the hollow of his thigh, making his sinew to shrink so that Jacob cannot wrestle any longer. What will Jacob do now? Give up? Let go of his opponent? No. He falls because his feet give way under him. He cannot do anything but fall. But as he falls, he grasps his antagonist and clings to him, crying, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. As if to say, I cannot wrestle with thee any longer, but I can and I will hold on to thee. And Jacob did. The dead weight of his weakness made Jacob hold on to Christ, just as an anchor holds a ship. I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. The weaker Jacob became in himself, the stronger he became in his God, so that God gave him another name, Israel, Prince of God, having power with God and with men. When I am weak, then am I strong. Don't be too discouraged, my brother or sister in the faith, when you feel so weak and so inadequate. Don't listen to the devil, who will at such times seek to drive you to despair, as you frantically try to do in your own strength what God says is impossible. Be rather encouraged when you feel so helpless and so weak, for only in this way you are a fit object for Christ, who wants to be your strength, your life, your all in all. Amen.